If you have your Bible, go with me to, let's see, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go today, church? Let's go to Acts 4, 1 to 4. One day I'll do that. I'll just get up here and we'll just see where God takes us. That would be fun. On that note, that happens a lot when we when I used to teach in the college we had. You know, you just come into class and we have North Coast Supernatural School of Ministry that's set to arrive this fall. Mary is the administrator. Pastor Mary is the administrator. And I heard Mary tore it up. Pastor Mary tore it up yesterday. Everybody, how many were there? That's awesome. Give her a great big hand. She did so good, I heard. I couldn't be there. It was a women's event. If I could have, I would have. But you can register for those. The first year registrants receive a large compensation in the tuition fee. So if you're interested, it's going to be quite supernatural. You want to be involved in that. Acts 4, verses 1 to 4. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed. Many of those who heard the word believed, even though they were censored, even though they were persecuted. And the number of the men came to be about 5,000. That sounds like a revival, doesn't it? Sounds like something's happening right there. But go back to verse 2 with me. Verse 2 says this, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Something's happening in our age. There is a spirit of the age that has gripped our nation and gripped our culture. And it tells us, listen, I don't mind if you practice religious tradition. I don't really care about you sitting in a pew, gathering on Sunday, gathering on Wednesday and Thursday. That's okay. I don't even really care if you get up and you talk about Jesus a little bit. Doesn't really bother me. This spirit of the age, it's found in 2 Corinthians 4, 4. It says, Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds. What Satan's trying to do in our culture today is blind the minds and the hearts of a generation. And it's sad to say that in many cases it's working. But look at here. They were greatly disturbed. Now, just so you know, the spirit of this age cares not if he has to use religion to manipulate his agenda. He doesn't even care because he used religion to silence the preaching of the resurrection from the dead. Now, you could preach whatever you want. It's okay if you go out there on the square and you preach Jesus, but just don't preach resurrection from death. Just don't preach that somehow there is a transfer and transformation can take place. Just don't preach that there is power in his name. Just don't preach that where, if just don't let them know that they can be healed of cancer. You can preach his name, just don't let them know that there's a resurrection power there that's available. That death can be conquered. Don't let them know that. And when you begin to let them know that, know for certain that Satan, the god of this world, will try to censor the resurrection. In every one of our lives, you say, no, not really. Yeah. You think revival inside of you is resisted the way it is for no reason at all? Revival is resisted. And you know, for a long time, I thought there was something wrong with me. I thought, man, how come all I want is revival? How come all I long for is revival? How come I act so different? How come I'm so full of this quest for resurrection from death? Why is it? Now I look around and I see others and I go, you act like that too. So I must not be all crazy. I look out there and I go, oh, no, I'm not crazy. I see some people that act like me. But there is a, There is a spirit of the age that wants to censor resurrection from death. He wants to censor. He wants to suppress resurrection. I don't care if you gather religiously, practice your dogma, practice your religion, come in, give God some obligated service, that's okay. But don't you dare, once you start to go into a place where death is defeated and cancer and sickness now starts getting broken, now that's when he'll come in and try to suppress your resurrection. He'll try to censor you. He'll do everything he can. The God of this age will do everything he can to keep it out of your mind, keep it out of your mouth, keep it out of your ear, keep it out of your eyes. I don't want you to see it. I don't want you to hear it. I don't want you to speak it. I don't want you to feel it. I want you to be dead in your sin. So I feel like this a lot of times. I feel like that when we gather a lot of times and when stuff starts happening, come up here and help me. Now, every time I say resurrection or revival, you don't let me say it. So if I say resurrection, you try to censor it. So there's the spirit of the age that follows us around. And always, he's just waiting for the moment where you start getting, your faith starts coming up in your belly. You know what I mean? Like it did when Tammy started sharing. And you start talking about resurrection. You got to follow me closer. Because I want it, and I'll try to get resurrection before you can censor it. And what he's got here, he's the censor police. And what the enemy's trying to convince you of is trying to do is suppress your resurrection. So you can come in here, all I want is resurrection. All I want is revival. All I care about is revival. I don't want to be dead anymore. And all he does is keep us sleeping. Just keeps us sleeping. Watch this. Watch this. You hold that. Here's what he's doing. He says, listen, I want to censor your heart most of all, because I know that if resurrection gets inside of your heart, I know if revival gets in your heart suddenly. I know if I can keep revival out of your heart, I can keep you in sickness. I know if I can keep revival out of your heart, I can keep you in bondage. I know if I can keep revival out of your heart, I can keep you in bitterness and offense. So I'll put this, and what I'll do is I'll guard your heart with all of my power. I don't want your heart getting revival. I don't want your heart getting resurrected from death. I want it to stay dead. I want you to hold on to your sin. I want you to operate in pride. I want you to think you can do it by yourself. And then what he'll do is, he said, listen, I can't get your mind. I don't want your mind involved in this either, so I gotta censor your mind. I gotta keep you a dumb sheep. No such thing as dumb sheep. Let me say, I heard some preacher preaching the other day that all sheep are dumb. Sheep are not dumb. Sheep are innocent. Sheep are dependent. We like sheep go astray because we just need a shepherd. But what he's trying to do is, listen, the last thing he wants to do is get this in there. If he can keep your mind from being illuminated, transformed, renewed, if he can just keep your mind dead, if he can just keep your mind dead, just listen, be as smart as you want to be. Go get all the degrees you want. I know a lot of smart people dumb as a brick. Dumb as a brick. And you sit there and say, listen, there's a point of reference. His name is Christ. He came, time divides him. Doesn't that not make sense to your intelligence? I mean, can't your intelligence appeal to that? No, I got to keep them. I got to keep their mind censored. But he'll let you get degrees. He'll let you think that religiously you're the smartest person in this world. That you know all. That spiritually you have arrived. That you're the apostle so-and-so and the bishop of this and that. And the most high El Elyon of this or that. Give you lots of little abbreviations at the end of your name. But one thing he won't permit. Suppression of resurrection will take place. He will not have your mind grasp the idea that it doesn't have to be dead any longer. He does not want your mind to grab a hold of the idea of revival. That somehow you don't have... Let me define revival and resurrection before we go further. Resurrection, that word there that's used in Acts 4:2, it says, it means this, anastasis. It means to stand up or rise again. To stand up or rise again. The enemy of your soul, the spirit of this age, does not want you to stand up and rise again. He just wants to keep you down. He just wants to make sure that you stay down. He'll lock you up in jail. He'll lock you up in a jail of your emotions. He'll lock you up. He'll arrest you in this world. Resurrection. Now, revival. Let me just tell you this, a definition of revival. An improvement in the condition or strength of something. Somebody needs something improved. An instance of something becoming popular, active, or important again. God needs to be important again. A new production of an old play or similar work. Anybody needs something new? Anybody need to be renewed in the spirit? A reawakening of religious fervor by means of a series of evangelistic meetings. A reawakening. Anybody drowsy in the spirit today, don't say amen. And then finally, a restoration to the bodily or mental vigor. A restoration to body or mental vigor. Anybody need healed today? Anybody know somebody that got cancer today? Anybody know anybody needs some restoration? Good news about Jesus. He never restores you to what was. He always restores you to beyond what you could think, ask, or imagine. Always. That's revival. So when I use the word revival or resurrection, they're synonymous. Resurrection, revival. He wants it. What the enemy wants to do is suppress revival. Suppress resurrection. He'll keep you dead in your sin. He'll keep you dead. He doesn't mind if you come to church. He minds when church leaves this building. He gets very agitated when suddenly you start smoking what you're selling. That's how you know it's good. You can't put an Oreo cookie in my house. I will eat the whole bag. I buy them for my kids, but I'm like, oh, these cookies are so good. I get my kids some more later. I'm like a junkie for Oreo cookies. Paul, Sue, pretend like you never heard that. You just didn't hear that. So what he does is he suppresses the resurrection in our life. He suppresses revival in our life. And, you know, he can't have you seeing much either. So he'll take away your vision. He will take your vision, smack away from you, and he'll replace it. Can't have you seeing right. Last thing, I cannot afford for you to see spiritually. The spirit of this age does not want you to see. Remember the prophet? Remember the prophet and his dude? He couldn't see. He was afraid. He's like, Master, we're surrounded. He said, oh, Lord, I pray you would open his eyes that he would see. And then the Lord opened his eyes and he saw on the hills the chariots of fire that surrounded them. There are more who are for us than there are those who are against us. But oh, I can't have your eyes seeing those that are for you. I can't have you seeing in the spirit. I can't have you prophesying spiritual things. So then he'll do this.
He says, listen, I can't have your mouth going around, Troy. I can't have you going around teaching all these people that they had, that there is a resurrected Christ from the dead. There is no way I can allow that. So what I'll do is I will suppress now. I'll suppress. I'll suppress revival from you. I can't have you seeing. I can't have you talking. The last thing I can afford is for you to go out there spewing words of revival and resurrection from the dead. Don't tell them that they can be healed. Oh my goodness, don't show them somebody that was cured of cancer, that big serious debt. Don't tell them that. So they overcame him by what? The blood of the Lamb and their mouth that spoke. Their mouth started talking about stuff that God was doing. They started declaring, God is for me. Nothing can be against me. I'm more than a conqueror. There's not one thing that my God has not given unto me. They started declaring things. They started believing it. They started smoking what they were selling. Them Oreo cookies was good. They're like, oh, Jesus is good. I was driving in today and I started weeping. I said, Jesus, you are so good. There is not one that the spirit of this age could not convince me that he's not good. He's good. He's so good to me. He's so good to me. He raised me from death. He did. I was a dead man. I had guns pointed at me. I had bullets shot at me. I'm alive and well. I can watch it all fall away. I should be dead, but he's good to me. He's good to me. Come on, say it. He's good to me. He's good to you. Won't you allow the spirit of this age to suppress the truth? Don't you allow the spirit of this age to convince you? I don't care what the culture says. It's all lies. So then you know what he'll do. He can't have you hearing truth. I can't have you hearing truth either. I can't have you hearing revival. I can't have a worship team. I can't have a worship team up there singing revival. I can't have them up there singing like their heart's set free. I can't have them up there singing even in the midst of all hell breaking free in their life. I can't have them up there singing about revival and resurrection from death. So the spirit of this age will do his best to keep division here. The spirit of this age will do his best to divide a wedge. He'll do his best to keep us from unity. Because blessing resides there. Power resides there. Connection is there, but he'll do his best. If I could just keep them against them and them, them, and them, and them, and those, and them. Then what I can do is I can suppress revival from their hearing. Because I can strip them of passion. I can take them and I can take their eyes and get them focused on something that's such a distraction. They start chasing little stuff around. Oh, they're like, oh, look at this. And oh, look at this. And you start chasing a fence. You start chasing rabbits around. You ain't never going to catch a rabbit. And all the while, all he's doing is say, hey, come here, man. Here, walk up here. Watch that step. That's a step there, yeah. You can't see, you can't hear, you can't think. And all he wants to do is just lay down here. He just wants to put you to sleep. No better yet, I don't even want you to sleep. Here, come on. Come on, I want to put you where you belong. Come on down here. I just want to put you down here. I'm going to put you right back in that pew. And I want you sitting in a pew. You go ahead and sit in that pew. looking all powerful and stuff. You go ahead and sit there. You go ahead and go to church. You go ahead and sit there with your family. You go ahead and lead them. You go ahead and falsely lead them the way you think. There is a way that seems right unto the man, but in the end, there is death attached to it.
You might as well, you can take your beats, hang around your neck there, Elijah. I want you to see now. Thank you. Give Elijah a hand. It's not a bad word. Resurrection is not a bad word. It shouldn't be censored. Revival is not something that should be ignored, suppressed. Listen to these words of Habakkuk 3:2. Oh Lord, I've heard your speech and I was afraid. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. Revive your works in the midst of the years, in the midst of my time, oh God. I pray that you would revive this nation. Revive me. He's speaking to himself. Revive your works in my life. Revive your works, O God, in my time. God, make your presence known. I cry out, God, make yourself known in my life. Isaiah 52:1 says, awake, awake. Put on strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean shall no longer come to you. He's saying, awaken, O Zion. O Zion, you are Zion. Awaken from your rest. Awaken from your sleep. Awaken to resurrection power. Ephesians 5:14 says, therefore he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Reawaken to God's desire for your life today. Revival is the mission of the cross. Revival is heaven revealed before its fullness. Revival is heaven revealed before its fullness. Revival is heaven revealed before its fullness. Suppression of the resurrection and revival keeps heaven from the earth, though, doesn't it? If he can just suppress it, he can keep it from the earth. And if he can keep it from the earth, he can discourage you. If he can keep heaven from manifesting in your life, he can get you to doubt, and that is his mission. If I can just get you to doubt, if I can just get you to disbelieve that he really died and that he really rose from the dead, if I can muddy those waters, I can keep you in your sin. It's time to hunger again. C.S. Lewis wrote these words. Indeed, if we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels, it would seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong, but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition. Ah! Oh! He's screaming through the ages at us. We are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased. Oh, dear Jesus. Dear Jesus, come again. Awaken in our hearts again. Matthew 12:1 says, at that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath and his disciples were hungry. They were hungry. Hunger will awaken you to heaven's realities. Hunger literally means desire. In that passage, hunger means desire. It says they desired. They had deep desire. They had deep longing inside of them. Hunger creates revival and resurrection power. Faith is never the issue when we gather like this. You know, we could pray for whatever we want right now. We could touch and agree. What's his name? What's his name? Say his name out loud. No, the fellow you sent me on the text. She gets his name. Doctor who? Dr. Tom Shalowski, be saved.
Do you doubt he'll be saved in this atmosphere? You see, because faith isn't the issue. Tony, Philip, and Elise, save him. Lawrence, you see. Her mother. Mother. You see, in this atmosphere, all things are possible. Faith is not an issue in this atmosphere. Everyone's so confident right now in this atmosphere. There's not one thing you can't do, Jesus. We know it for certain. Our desire is your desire. Psalm 37 says he shall give you the desires of your heart. Our desires match his desires right now. No doubt in our minds. So the issue becomes desire then, doesn't it? We leave this place and we go and we have strange desires. Creating heavenly desire. How do we create heavenly desire? How do we make this alive in our cars? How do we do this on our job sites? How do we do this in our homes? How do we create a desire that's like this? How do we do it, God? Teach us how to do it. Something interesting. I'll be sitting at home. I'm letting all my secrets out of the bag. I'll be sitting at home and a Taco Bell commercial will come on. I'm telling you, Taco Bell will get me. My boy Tim Vaughn, he said, "Hey, don't be eating Taco Bell late at night." I said, "I don't got nobody to go get it. I'm not ambitious enough to get up and go get Taco Bell. But if you and Jeremiah was going, I'd say, bring me back some tacos." But you know, they're so clever in their campaign. They're so clever in their campaign because what they're trying to do is awaken a desire within you. If I could just show you, if I could just get your eyes to see it, you know, I could get your mind to comprehend what a taco would taste like right now at midnight. Don't you want a taco? Yes, Lord, I want a taco. Taco Bell is speaking to me. Jeremiah, Tim Vaughn, I'll fly you by. Go get us some tacos. Awaken the desire. Awaken the desire. What you have to do, what I have to do, is create a marketing campaign for God in our lives. We have to create a marketing campaign for God. I was sitting with Vanessa the other day. We were having dinner, and she works in the marketing department of her company, and she began to share with me some of the just basic marketing strategies. First of all, basic marketing strategy is this. You need this product. You need to convince the consumer that they have to have this product. Right? You have to create this. You have to convince them. You got to have this. Apple does a great job. Wouldn't it be great if we could market God for our lives the way Apple markets an iPhone? That all you do when you go to bed at night is think about the new iPhone you're about to get tomorrow morning. All I did last night when I went to bed was think about how God was going to pour himself out without measure today. I said, God, I want to see desire awakened, hunger again, arise over this region, arise over your people, hunger again. But there has to be an awareness that you need this product. You have to have this product. Ephesians 2:11-12 says, therefore remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hand, that at that time, everybody say at that time, you were without Christ, being dead. You were without Christ. You had no hope. And you were without God. Oh God, tell a nation again that without you it's hopeless. Oh God, may we realize in our hearts that we are without you. That we need you. Create such a desire in our hearts. Over this nation.
have them. These three things you have to acquire, inspire, and retain. I'll close with these. Vanessa said, she said these words. She said, they want to do this with their consumers. They want to acquire them, they want to inspire them, and they want to retain them. We must acquire God for ourselves. Jesus must be acquired individually. They're waiting for revival to come to us, and God's saying, Jesus is saying, I've sent you to release revival. But you must have me. You want resurrection life. You want resurrection power. You must have me first. You must acquire me at any cost. I must be acquired by you. I must be sought out by you. I must be diligently pursued by you. I must be followed after hard by you. Come after me. Chase me in the wilderness. Chase me on the valleys. Chase me through the valleys. Chase me through up to the top. Chase me wherever you are. Find me. Acquire me at any cost. You must go get them, church. You must go get them. Passive faith won't do. The violent in spirit must arise because you're violently being attacked. I don't know if you've realized it, but your culture is violently in opposition of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Violently opposing you. I would say to you, you must become more violent in the spirit. You must become tenacious in your heart. There must be this dogged pursuit of him. I hunt deer in the fall. Let me tell you, I run after him, man. You don't hunt, hey, God bless you. But I'll pursue the trophy. I'll go after him. I'll sit up there in 20 below zero. Because God has made me. God has made me to conquer. I chase after the enemy hard. I'll just go after him. Somebody asked me yesterday, how many souls were saved in Tripto? 850. 850. What'd that cost you? A lot. Sleepless nights. Gouged eyes, injuries, harassment by the spirit of this world that said you won't do it. We'll shut you down. You can't do it. We'll suppress this resurrection power you're trying to release. I'll cause all the religious folks to call you and send you hate mail and tell you you're working for the devil. He'll use anything he wants, anything he can. We have to acquire him, church. We have to live inspired lives. Secondly, we have to live inspired. You want to have a marketing campaign for God in your life? Acquire him every day. Go after him with all your heart. Number two, you have to live an inspired life. You have to be full with urge. That's what that means. Full with urge. How many are full with urge every day? How many have passion in your life? People always say, man, you should calm down a little bit. Man, listen, I'm trying to live my life like I'm shot out a gun. Come on, now, I was born with a pistol in my hand. Chips down, no daddy. I'm trying to get ahead. And you think I'm going to work for my Savior with any less passion than that? I drank my Jack Daniels straight up, double shot. Give me the bottle. You think I'm going to serve Jesus with any less passion than that? I'm full of urge. You have to live with passion. Dominant passion controls culture. Write it down. Put it on Facebook. Dominant passion controls the culture. You want to know why a minority of the population of this country controls the media? Because they're more passionate than we are. Their songs, how can Bruno Mars sing with such passion at a Super Bowl concert? I've been saved from death. I serve a God who rose from the dead, and the same spirit that lives in him now lives in me. It quickens my mortal body. It sends steel up my spine. You come at me like that, you come after me for two, I come after you with 200. Passion. Inspired. Live an inspired life.
Gotta have God attitude. Number three, retain. Retain God. It means keep possession of Him. It means don't let go of Him. It means when it gets hard, it means when you're tired, it means when you're sick, it means when they tell you something that ain't true, it ain't true. Retain God. That baby shall judge the nations. Retain Him. Retain Him when resurrection power is trying to be suppressed in your life. Retain Him. Don't let go. Don't let go. Grab a hold of Him because He's all you got. Grab a hold of Him because everything else is smoke and mirrors. Everything else is just lies. Everything else is just a mirage on the horizon. Everything else is just tricks and foolery. Retain Him. Oh, if we could just keep our people saved. I want you to hear this. Everybody listen real tight right now. Listen to me. Retain Him. Retain Him. I pray that echoes in your mind and in your heart when you backslide. When you go cold on Him. When you let go of Him. I pray you hear it. I pray you see it in the mirror. I pray you see the eyes. I pray you see the result of letting go of Him when you look in the mirror. I prayed that over Dante Phillips, a Joshua kid. He ain't back yet. But I said, Dante, what you see when you look in the mirror? He said, I see all of them. They haunt me. I can't look in the mirror. I said, I prayed it long ago. I said, I pray you see the souls. I pray you see the souls of neglect because you let go. Don't you let go. Don't you let go of God. I don't care how hard it gets. Don't you renounce Jesus. Don't you let go of Him. Retain Him. Keep possession of Him. Oh, if we could just keep possession of Him long enough, we could fill a building and fill a stadium. We could fill a city with the shouts and cries of God. It would paralyze this region. If we could just retain Jesus. I'm gonna stand on your feet. Altar ministers, come forward. Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, revive us. Jesus, revive us. Come on, if that's your heart's cry, that's your heart's desire, why don't you just lift your hands to the Lord. Jesse, sing a song from the Spirit. Jesus, revive us.
We love You.
Jesus.
And we'll never stop. We can't live without You. And Jesus, and we love You, and we can't get enough. All this is for You, Jesus, and we love You. We'll never stop. We can't live without You.
Yes, can't live without
Jesus.
Now, if you can't live without Him,
we love You.
If you can't live without Him, church.
And we can't get enough.
I want to encourage you.
All this is for You.
Jesus. I want to encourage you to acquire Him every day. I want to encourage you. Make this covenant promise with you. With God. God, I promise I'm going to acquire You every day. I'm going to live my life inspired, and I'm going to retain You. I'm going to lead a marketing campaign for my life. And if you're in this room today and you've never surrendered, you've never acquired Jesus, you've never done it, I just want you to quietly move from where you are, come forward. We want to pray for you. You say, or you've let go of Him. If you've let go of Jesus and you need to grab back a hold of Him, just silently move out from where you are. We're going to conclude in worship. Everyone's welcome to come forward. If you need prayer for healing in your body, there's an anointing to be healed today. You can be healed. Don't be sick any longer. Be resurrected. Jesus came. He died. The same Spirit that lives in Him now dwells and will quicken your mortal body. God bless you. If you're listening online, if you're watching online, be saved from this perverse world. Be rescued. Just call upon the name of Christ and you will be saved. He will rescue you. God bless you. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. The altars are open.